In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And myself, Vikram.
Oh, yourself, Vikram. Hi, self, Vikram.
Thanks, self.
Well saved. You want to talk in normal English?
Of course, that's all I know how to talk in normal English.
Once again, well saved. Vikram,
yes,
why
sir?
Don't you tell the good folk, our merry listeners, in normal English what we're doing here?
Of course, pleasure mine. We take a movie from the IMDb top 250 at random, and then we toss a coin, and heads argues for that movie and tails argues against. Simple.
The most important point, the coin toss is also at random.
You mean the Film Feud coin?
That's right. The Film Feud coin randomly assigns sides.
Special coin.
That's right. Very special coin. And the movie we will be using that special coin to feud today is none other than Oscar Darling from 2016. Musical, romantic, drama, Gosling comedy, La La Land.
Is it a comedy?
Is it? I don't know. There's comedic value in it.
I guess. Yeah. So this week's episode is La La Land.
La La Land. Or as I like to call it, LA LA Land.
LA LA Land. Oh, they are in LA.
It's based in LA. It's so...
Oh my God. Mind
double
blown.
Double entendre.
Mind blown.
I know, right?
So why don't we jump to the coin toss, Vidur?
Let's do it. I will be tossing the coin. And heads means I feud for the movie. And tails means I feud against. Simple enough?
Yep.
Let's do it. And I got heads.
Oh, thank God.
What do you mean, thank God?
I hated this movie, dude.
Oh, you hated this movie?
I hated this movie.
Are you actually happy to be against a movie that's the most Oscar-nominated movie
I'm so la-la right now. It's not even funny.
Dude, face it. This is like the best date movie of all time.
Bring it, dude. I can't even wait to jump in the feud for this one.
When was the last time you watched La La Land?
I think when it came out. I just seen it once.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Me too. And I remember loving it. I remember leaving the theater with a sense of joy. So I'm pretty pumped about this feud, man. It's going to be a breeze. Why don't we jump right in?
Yeah, la 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 la, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go watch the movie. Oh my God, dude. That was just a lovely experience.
Are you serious, dude?
You know what? This is the most at peace I've been before a feud. Nothing you can say will hurt me. That was movie magic at its finest. Magic. Movie magic. Magic, you know, movie magic.
Okay. I feel like...
The movie magic of a bygone era.
Yeah.
Nothing has ever been more magical than this movie. It just captures what movie magic was meant to be all about.
Uh-huh. What's movie magic, Vidur?
It's La La Land.
Oh. Okay, got it.
How are you going to feud this movie? Are you just going to be like a whiny little bitch?
Why don't you just find out and stop saying movie magic firstly and then we can get into it?
There's just so much movie magic bubbling in my head after I watched this movie. It just brought a smile to my face as it did the first time I watched it. As I'm sure you're going to pretend that it didn't. But come on, you just leave the theater or the viewing or the watching of this movie with a smile on your face. Or a tear, given the last sequence, which we'll get to. Beautiful. Magic.
Oh God, dude, this movie is so, it's like hot pieces of ass just like getting thrown at my face the entire time. Everything about this movie is awful, man. Literally everything. I have one point that I want to concede, which I'll drop as we move along.
Oh, please do.
Oh, at the beginning?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I'll get it out of the way. The one concede I have is Ryan Gosling's skills on the piano. He learned it like 3 months before.
Beast.
He's so good, man. And I can totally understand, like, I play the guitar, so I understand how tough it is to pick up an instrument and play it at that scale and to get to that level so quickly. Apparently, it was just 3 or 4 months before the movie's shooting started.
Apparently, John Legend was just in awe / jealous of how quickly Ryan Gosling picked it up.
And I also read up, like, every close-up they have of him, it's actually him. There's no double anywhere. That's mind-blowing, man. That's, I think, really, really amazing. Like the effort he put in there is so good.
Amazing. Amazing that you concede that.
Yeah.
Because that also means you have to concede the fact that the direction...
Don't force concessions from me, firstly. It's my choice
no
whether...
No means no.
It's my choice whether I want to concede or not, but please go on. You were saying?
But the fact that Ryan Gosling learned it goes hand to hand, no pun intended, with the fact that all these takes, all the cinematography of him playing is like usually a single take, and it'll always like start with the hands, go to the face, zoom out, and you can viscerally feel that it's one take. And the same goes to the songs as well, which I think is the beauty of the direction here. It's almost like Broadway style. One take, you can see that they're actually doing it. No cuts, you can see that they rehearsed it. I just want to say, broadly speaking, I think this might be the best English Bollywood movie of all time.
Do you mean a musical?
It's a musical, but like it's done in a way that Bollywood movies fail to do, which is, again, single take songs for the actors.
I think a big difference, sorry to interject, a big difference between Bollywood song and dance movies and musicals in the States are it's the actors who are actually singing and dancing, as opposed to Bollywood where they're playback singers. So that actually just adds to the authenticity of it.
They're not actually singing, are they?
Of course they are.
Really?
That's what Hollywood musicals are about. The actors are singing their own songs.
No, in this movie are they singing?
Yes, yes, they are.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that. Obviously, they're dancing.
I mean, I have a point about Emma Stone. I can barely understand half of the time what she's singing.
She has
she's
that
really
little
bad.
Emma Stone she's raspy like, voice.
I can do that. Oh, see, that's the Emma Stone voice.
Oh, oh. Come again?
Look at my face.
So it just made me think about the movie. Not. What the hell was that? She has a very unique voice that they channeled
for this
movie.
I think she has a very non-unique voice, very generic, high-pitched voice, which is
wait.
Coachable.
Stop it. Stop getting into the nitty-gritty. Okay?
Okay, what else am I supposed to do?
You know what?
Feel the magic.
Uh-huh. Movie magic.
Right.
And I'll say something in this movie, do it. I have no concessions.
You have no concessions for against?
Yeah. I have no concessions for you.
I feel like you also don't have any positives. You'll probably have like a generic blurb about this movie.
We just went through some positives. The direction is just fantastic.
I don't agree.
Did you like the Coen Brothers movie Hail Caesar?
I think it's not as much as I like their other movies. It's one of the lower ones for their movies. Like when I try to rank them in my head.
So Hail Caesar was about 1950s Hollywood. And they captured all these like musical numbers, big sound stages, water numbers.
Right, right.
Scarlett Johansson as the mermaid and like Channing Tatum as like a sailor. And that was actually sort of representing 1950s Hollywood from a weird like ironic detachment. Although with like a love.
Also, it was showing it from the production side of things, not... Right? So like there's a slight difference in terms of how it comes across.
Hence the ironic detachment.
Yeah.
Here, they commit to it. And they commit to it in a sort of like 2010s era with mobile phones and technology and whatever. But they still manage to maintain like that bygone era vibe, which is probably why this movie won the hearts, firstly, and won Oscar nominations the most of all time.
I mean, 14. Oscar nominations, dude, I feel like the Oscars are just biased towards musical. Whenever there's a musical that comes out, good or bad, it always ends up getting like a...
You know what it doesn't get is 14 goddamn Oscar nominations. The most of all time.
Whatever, dude. I mean, you mentioned
that
this
is... You can't brush whatever. And like within the Oscars, it won. Like production design is what is able to capture that bygone era in the current time. I think it's just fantastic. Some of the scope of the production of this movie, the opening number, dude... The fact that they have a
I feel bad for the citizens of that city, wherever that was, I'm assuming LA. There must have been like a 6-hour traffic jam just because of that sequence.
Dude, so it's actually kind of meta. It is LA. The whole movie is LA. LA is very much a character in the city. They shot in like 60 locations across LA. They got a lot of theaters open that had been shut down because that's also the vibe of like Ryan Gosling's character trying to live in the past. And that sequence is shot in one of the busiest freeways in LA. They actually shut it down for however many days they did.
I think that's a very irresponsible thing to do.
There are 100 dancers in that sequence, hundreds of cars. And the meta thing is LA is actually very, very famous or infamous for its traffic and its traffic jams. And so, again, one take, the whole sequence is one take with the camera moving. Imagine the choreography. Imagine the dances they must have taken. They shut down the city. They shut down that freeway. They shot that whole sequence. And it flows directly into the movie. The same take after the title card comes. Usually a lot of musical numbers would open like this and then it would cut to black and then the movie would start. It goes directly into the movie with Ryan Gosling in the car and just continues. I don't even know how they pull that off, man. That's an achievement in itself. Simply amazing.
I understand the significance of what you're saying in terms of how that sequence was shot. It's not too tough to understand how it was shot. And the whole one take thing, I mean, that's what singers and dancers are used to doing. So it's a lavish scene. I understand that.
Not on a freeway.
why not? If the freeway is blocked out, it's yours for you to use. A, I don't agree with the whole thing about just because to make that sequence look like the way it is, they block out that freeway. That's the stupidest thing in the world. I would kill someone if they did that, especially in LA traffic, and they're adding to my traffic woes. But to your point about that, continuing with the movie and all, it's not mind-blowing at all. It's just, it's there. And then to have a movie that relies on things like that to carry the movie is, I think, very weak, because the story of this movie and the characters in this movie are just set aside so that they can focus on these lavish song and dance routines, which are also pretty weak. I mean, we'll get to it eventually, but I'm not a fan of
this
Emma Stone
is the opening
and
opening number, man. Most of the time the songs add to the story or add to the character, especially Emma Stone's audition song.
Yeah.
And their love ballad and a lot of songs which I'm forgetting. I must say the songs,
very forgettable songs.
Yeah, because it's not Bollywood. They're not trying to like make it catchy.
If you look at the famous Hollywood musicals, you earlier mentioned that this is your favorite musical of all time.
No, it's not. My favorite musicals of all time are Disney musicals, and those are the most famous.
I feel like Disney musicals are written songs first and then like the movies written. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But like even like the old ones, like the ones that this is trying to allude to, like things like My Fair Lady and Fiddler on the Roof and stuff, right? Those are iconic musicals that have a great story, that have great song and dance sequences, and the songs are actually adding a lot to the movie in itself. Whereas here, it's literally just like, let's try to evoke that whole 1950s, 1960s nostalgia, but they completely forgot to focus on the story in itself. It's so weak. The characters, I don't think Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are suited for musicals at all. They can't sing.
I told you, I'm at peace.
Yeah. Clearly.
It's just all just by the wayside for me. I'm just still thinking about the movie. Jesus, I don't care, man. About your
dumb opinion.
You've
gone soft, though. You've gone soft. Pull it
okay,
up.
Okay, will you at least concede this is the most LA movie ever? Every movie tries to capture, not every movie, but so many movies try to capture that LA vibe. A lot of movies capture the New York vibe correctly, but this movie is the most, like, it's so poetic about LA too, because Damien Chazelle, the director, who I want to talk more about, but he spoke about LA as this sort of city of unfulfilled dreams. It's built by people who just put it all on the line, right? And he wanted to capture that, which he clearly did within the story. And then, you know, little things like the traffic thing in LA, the first time and the last time Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone meet is in traffic, which is what the city's most infamous for. This movie is called La La Land, LA LA Land. I felt like this movie should have been called, you know, like Dr. Strangelove's full name.
Mm-hmm. How I learned how to make the bomb or
stop worrying and yeah, the bomb. This should have been like something like La La Land, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Achieve My Dreams and Realize the Cost.
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
It should have been called La La Land or How I Learned How to Stop Worrying and
what
Achieve
My Dreams.
What are
you talking about? What are you saying? Just like breathe. Jesus, man. This and everything about this movie, like there's so many things I have problems with. I like jazz, all right? And I've been to a fair share of jazz clubs here in India as well as the States. This guy,
ooh.
So have you. I know that for a fact.
I'm
stop saying so ooh to me.
Cultured.
Now that that's out of the way, this guy is, I wouldn't say pretending, but he's playing a character who's apparently a jazz purist, right? He's like going to save jazz and all. A lot of people, by the way, side note, like a lot of musicians, especially jazz musicians, had big problems with this movie when it came out.
Why?
I don't know. I think one of the bigger reasons they had was they had a white man playing this jazz savior, which a lot of people had a problem with. I personally don't care. It's anyone who likes it. Anyone who loves it.
Or like
themselves.
A white savior trope that they have.
Yeah, because jazz is dominated by black musicians, right? Mm-hmm. And so they felt like their fair share wasn't given. And I'm saying is that he's pretending to be a jazz purist. This movie is pretending to be a jazz purist movie. Like it's all about jazz and stuff like that. But the first scene when Emma Stone ends up telling him that she hates jazz and he ends up taking her to a jazz club where this band is playing a sick set, okay, like really good music, and they're just sitting there talking over it. Anyone who's been to even a single jazz club knows that you do not talk. And they're having a dialogue exchange. Oh, look at that guy. He's going to his own dhun. Oh, look at that guy. Look at his face. And Emma Stone's like, oh my God, I'm loving jazz right now.
So the nitpicking begins.
Of course, I'm going to nitpick. What do you expect me to do? Just be like,
a it's a movie. Stars. It's a movie.
Yeah, make it slightly realistic. If
also,
you can't be conveniently realistic with things like how good he's at the piano and how he's obsessed with jazz about the jazz club.
The movie's
thing.
Making no effort to be realistic. They start flying at one point, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, so realism is not a point that you can raise. As for that one sequence, anybody who's been to a jazz club might know this, even though I didn't. But anybody who's also been on like a first date knows that you don't ignore the date and just listen to the jazz. Like, you actually talk to the person. So, hey, maybe this time that's what he chose to do. And the fact that he's passionate as it is means that maybe this time he's earned the right to talk over some sick
set. Okay, you conveniently wedged some sense into all of that. I'm not even going to take you off on that.
But the point is, it's not trying to be realistic. Firstly, the making of this movie is just so fascinating, right? Because Damien Chazelle, who killed it, won Best Director for this movie, he made Whiplash, which I love.
I really like Whiplash.
There we go.
I love Whiplash. I think it's a great movie, and the way it's shown music in that movie is... It's so much better. It's so much better for music in general as opposed to this movie. It's not helping jazz in any way.
It's fine. It doesn't need to help jazz. It just needs to spread love and joy and magic. Movie magic.
I've had none of that, man.
So the thing is, Damien Chazelle, he moved to Hollywood with this script in hand. It was based out of Boston or something back then. The reason he moved to Hollywood to become a director was to get this movie made. He did like a lot of side projects and then eventually got to direct Whiplash, which became really big. And that allowed him to make this movie. Him and his writing and music partner, Justin Hurwitz, they both went to Harvard together. And Justin Hurwitz is the guy who made all the music for this movie and for Whiplash for that matter. What a team, man. First Whiplash and now this. I mean, I can't wait to see what he does next. And little decisions he made. We already spoke about some of the production. Simple structure like Winterfall. He also wrote the movie. And, you know, shot it on film. That made so much difference. Like, basically, he was living up to the whole bygone era he was so admiring. Just beautiful, man. Like, the guy just killed it. And this is his second movie. He won Best Director. Youngest guy to ever win Best Director. So deserved. It almost won Best Picture, which was the little snafu that happened at the Oscars.
The Moonlight incident?
The Moonlight incident.
I think Moonlight was such a good movie, man.
I did like Moonlight a lot. You know what we should have done? Is we should have made this the La La Land episode and then discuss Moonlight the whole time.
And be like, yeah, this is Moonlight. I just actually want to talk about the director a little bit. You were talking about the fact that how LA is so well represented in the movie. I'm not sure it is, man. Like, it's just this whole microcosm of a specific type of individual that lives in LA. And I don't want to play the race card here, but it's predominantly white.
Here we go.
It's just because it's a thing. You can't blame me for it, man.
Because the characters are white.
The story is based on white. Like, I know LA for a fact. LA is one of the most diverse cities in the world.
So this is about dream chasers. Forget LA. LA just happens to be... It is.
So dream chasers are only white, you're saying?
No, they're not. They just happen to be white in this movie.
Oh, by chance, perhaps.
Really? You're going the social justice and warrior route.
I just wanted to talk about it. And the other thing I have a big, big problem with is because this movie is a musical, is the singing and dancing.
Okay.
Both the lead actors sucked at both those things.
They didn't suck at it. They just weren't professional singers or dancers.
They sucked at it. There were so many other characters or actors who would have done way more justice to this role.
Firstly, the female role was supposed to go to Emma Watson, who I think might have killed it.
Emma Watson as in Hermione?
Yeah, Hermione.
Oh, she sings?
Well, she sang Beauty and the Beast, right?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Obviously, I haven't either, but it made $1 billion. So I'm assuming she did an okay job, but... Emma Stone did a great job and won Best Actress as a result, because I think some of the scenes, she's just killing it. You know, the audition scene where she sings that solo song. And
the one with her aunt in Paris?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You just have no emotion.
Literally, maybe the two most unbearable minutes in the movie.
You're so heartless, dude. You have no emotions.
Call me whatever, man. I didn't like the movie.
I'll grant you this singing and dancing being a little weak in the one scene between the two of them. What a Waste of a Lovely Night, which is the poster of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that and even the observatory scene, I didn't like that at all when they're flying the one you mentioned.
Yeah, I guess. In particular, the What a Waste of a Lovely Night, I think what's beautiful there is the backdrop. That's actually LA. And that purple haze, they actually shot it between like 5:20 and 5:30, like that golden hour. And LA looks so beautiful. They did it maybe like 8 days or something, like 8 takes. And the whole song again is one take. So these guys, they're doing their best, right? Like, obviously, they're not the best. Damien Chazelle actually spoke about how he was just very forgiving about these mistakes. So these are just like two guys.
Also, he couldn't do anything about them. He was too deep into the movie and he's like, I can't change these guys right now.
No, he could have made, like, Ryan Gosling played the piano like to perfection, right?
I agree. And I have already conceded that. But apart from that, his singing and dancing were more predominant as opposed to his piano playing. And so was Emma Watson's. And It was really bad, man. I'm serious. I couldn't understand.
Emma Stone.
I'm sorry, Emma Stone. I couldn't understand half of the times what Emma Stone was singing. I had to turn on the subtitles for the movie.
That's because you were a gamar. That has nothing to do with the movie.
It's so bad. And at least Ryan Gosling was slightly more legible when he was singing, so you could make out what the words were. And then they're dancing on top of that. Because these guys are singing and dancing throughout the movie, you notice that sort of stuff. And just because...
But it's fun. It's fun. It doesn't need to be... Like, I'd rather watch this... Then like a Hairspray or one of those like Rent, where these guys are professional singers and dancers, but the movie isn't as good and the emotions aren't as good. I mean, that's way more fun.
I don't know, man. It's a musical. You have to be good at singing and dancing. You can't be forgiving about any of that, because just because someone's making an effort doesn't mean you have to appreciate that effort. It has to be good. It's a top bill movie, so
it's not that top bill. Firstly, he made it for $30 million. It's like a passion project come to life because of Whiplash, and the movie made $450 million, killing it. Destroying
it. Sheep all over the world. Just looking at Ryan Gosling's face.
Ryan Gosling plus passionate about jazz plus actually playing the piano equals soon times 100. Even I felt a little something down there.
Look, I'll make one thing clear, okay? I like most men who just generally are jealous of his looks and all. I actually like Ryan Gosling as an actor.
And now I like him as a sex symbol.
Okay, good for you, Uther. Congratulations. I won't be calling you at night. What I'm trying to say is I loved him in Drive. I loved him in Blade Runner. All right? I've heard good things about The Place Beyond the Pines. I still haven't seen it.
I've seen all three of those movies. The swoon factor just doesn't compare to La La
It's not.
Man.
It's. I'm talking about him as an actor.
I'm Someone talking about who's him trying as a put, swoonster.
He did not look like a man who was under stress or duress because he got swindled or anything. He just looked like a man who's good looking and who's trying his best to sing and dance.
He looked like a man who was passionate and good-looking, but he didn't even know it, you know, and he'd take care of you.
I just noticed your phone wallpaper is Ryan Gosling's face, man. Jesus, dude.
He just looked like he would just protect you, you know, and he'd just nuzzle you up in his arms and just croon.
Are you coming out of the closet in this episode, Uther?
I'd come out of the closet with Ryan Gosling any day, dude, if he's anything. Not Ryan Gosling, but Sebastian from La La Land.
Seb, you mean? Can we please start talking about Emma Stone a little bit?
I have a few things.
Yeah, best actress. We all know the Oscar goofs up sometimes, and it has clearly goofed up in this specific year. I think Emma Stone has an inherent issue that...
Her eyes are too big?
Her eyes are whatever, like big eyes and all. But I feel like she's... Every time I see her face, I feel like she's just like a second ago just run into a wall. She has that run into the wall punch face going.
Wall punch?
I don't know. It's something like, it's just like squished, man. Like, just like, I don't get it. I can't describe it. I can't put it to words. I know it's a sign of my intellect and stuff like that. But
and misogyny, I'm sorry. Violence against women through walls.
Walls. I don't know. No one's any conductor. She's like, she's running straight and she hit a wall and then she's like facing the camera. I don't know what it is. That's the best explanation I can have. And it just gets to me. Every time I see her face, ever since she's come up with, I think Superbad was the first movie I saw her in. And up until now, there's something going on there, man, which I can't get over. I just cannot get over.
You're just jealous.
Of a wall-squished face?
Yeah. And her talent.
What talent? Yeah. Seriously, tell me. Just like...
She acted really well. I mean, forget the acting spots, like the audition and all that, which whatever you didn't like, but it was actually pretty good. But also just in like her reactions, that whole scene, and in fact the second act of the movie, which is just her and Ryan Gosling having fun conversations, difficult conversations, her going through auditions and failing, then suffering the defeat of her one-woman show. All of that is like consistently good acting. You know, you need to be really empathizing with what she's going through to feel anything in the movie. And that's why she pulled it off. There's a reason she got Best Actress, man. Come on, you can't just say blanket. She wasn't good. That makes no sense.
Okay, I'll tell you why. I'll just dive into a little more specific. I'm not giving her any points or positive points just because she won Best Actress. We've seen actors and actresses winning the Best Actor award at the Oscars where they don't deserve it, right? So,
like?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock?
That's actually a pretty good pick, yeah, for the Blind Side. Okay, so no comparison, firstly.
There are many more, man, including actors. That
name five more.
You know there are. Just because you're for this movie doesn't mean you need to violently defend why these guys won the Oscars. Emma Stone did not deserve to win the Oscar, for sure. And the other thing about the acting, just to talk about that, I think maybe because it ties in with the vibe of this movie, it's you know, like Ryan Gosling doing these jump scares and like just being a little like, you know, like physically like overacting a little bit. I feel like that carries on throughout this movie and it sort of starts killing the whole vibe of the characters these guys are playing. Like Emma Stone's overacting a lot. Like a lot. Like a lot.
It's a musical.
That doesn't mean anything. You can have great acting in a musical as well.
It's so annoying, dude. So annoying.
I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just waiting.
No.
I know you're going to start. Yeah, see? I knew that. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, why aren't you talking to me?
Oh, sorry. So my quick question is that...
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're not singing? Okay, my bad.
No.
Why would I sing? Oh, sorry. I just...
Yeah.
Why do these guys...
And girls.
Why do these people forget to use cell phones whenever they should be using them?
That's a movie trope?
Yeah, oh, it's like a movie. Oh, magic movie.
Well, she's in a play that one time. One time he doesn't do it. She's inside a play.
Finds out that he won't be able to make it for her play before her play starts.
You don't know that.
Oh, I don't know that. And then even like when she's...
He probably thinks he will make it. And then he doesn't.
Are you going to explain this every time? Like, I can get like specific instances and let's see what your explanation for those are.
I don't know why you're nitpicking. You know the nitpick you should have done was like a movie goof up is that they give her this blue dress at the start of that song where the four girls go to that party. And they hold up this blue dress like, oh, you should come to the party. And then she's, no, I'm going to stay at home. Like, you might meet someone and all. Well, like, what, that one person. I'm basically forgetting the name of the song. But then she shows up to the party and it's a completely different blue dress. It's not that dress at all.
Well, I didn't even notice that one. Thanks, but I... Again, these nitpicks don't matter. Like, oh, exactly. Dress goof up. So, like, your hair is a different way in one shot, in a different way.
Your phone call could have been at a time and blah,
the
blah.
That's a movie. The plot of the movie can be saved at three specific different points with a simple phone call.
This is a traditional movie-making concession you have to make. It's this little suspension of disbelief. That is usually justifiable. Why don't we talk about the fun nitpicks? Like,
yeah,
my favorite one was J.K. Simmons hating jazz, which was like a meta subversion of his last character from Whiplash. And then he teaches her the car skull trick, which I really enjoyed. You know that trick where you hold up the key fob to your car, to your skull, and it actually amplifies the frequency and you can reach further away? That's always nice to spread that to the world, isn't it?
Of course, microwaves through the brain.
It's actually not that. It's because water amplifies the frequency and your skull is mainly water. Hashtag fascinating.
But these radio waves going through your skull... For them to be amplified cannot be healthy.
Why not? No, you stop. Take off your tinfoil hat and also heartless hat and also like non-movie magic hat, will you?
Wait, also, a quick question. Why tinfoil hat?
It's just it's because conspiracy people wear tinfoil hats to protect.
It's not a conspiracy. You have radio waves going through your head.
There's nothing wrong with that, at least provenly.
I mean, okay. I know just because it's not proven, it's not a thing.
That's usually how things work. Yes.
Aliens are not a thing.
No, they're a hypothesis.
I think they're there.
Stop trying to take us down a hole when you know you're losing the feud. Jeez.
Oh, that's what's happening?
Of course.
Jesus, what a bad movie. Shittiest dance.
Aha, you're coming on board with me.
A stupid ass song, dude.
Dude, you know, I love the music with very little exception.
Except you can't remember the name of the songs.
So what? I remember City of Stars. I remember... I even like the shitty parody song that John Legend sings. Like, their band. And the whole point is that it's supposed to be ironic and about like how bad and pop starry it is and what a blasphemy of jazz that is.
The only time this movie had good music was when Ryan Gosling was in that wedding band. That was the only time I actually like having fun. I was like, oh, nice.
It's an original cover of Take On Me, actually. Yeah.
Even Iran, they played it really well. That's a great band.
Actually, this was the second music movie to come out that year. Did you watch Sing Street by any chance?
No, I haven't.
Small indie British or Irish movie? British overall. Some other side of the pond. Actually, the same side of the pond for us. But really cute movie about like high schoolers who start a band and, you know, like coming of age through the band. And they also did a cover of Take On Me and it was like really fun. So yeah, this was sort of the year of the musical, man, in Hollywood.
Okay.
And also a little piece of trivia I read is that casting director scene where Emma Stone is acting her brains and eyes out.
Overacting her brains and eyes out.
No. Acting.
Where she gets brushed off by that guy, right?
Yeah, to the extent she's overacting, she's like trying really hard in the audition.
Uh-huh.
But apparently that was directly lifted from an audition that Ryan Gosling went to. And then Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone had a lot of contribution to that one main dinner conflict scene where Ryan Gosling comes back and they talk about whether his band is going to be permanent and stuff. That was the most worked on dialogue. And you know what? I'm changing my mind. I'm going to concede a little bit. I don't think it worked for me.
I'm not even doing anything. It's just happening on the song.
I'm just trying to make
go
it.
Go on, go on.
I'm trying to make it realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
About how much I love this
movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're now quoting the Antra from the movie Rockstar.
Oh, that's Rockstar.
Yeah.
I kept thinking Indian Ocean in my mind.
An inferior musical.
Yeah.
Some Bollywood director doing this movie could have been fun, I have to admit.
Not really.
No, Bollywood music director?
Anu Malik?
Hey, city of stars.
That's my best Anu Malik.
Not bad, man. Not bad for an impromptu Anu Malik. What about the woman who did Gangs of Wazipur, Sneha Kanwalkar?
Wait, what are we talking about again? If these guys directed or were music directors for La La Land?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'd be better.
Then it'd be like La La Land, Sneha Kanwalkar.
Yeah, I would prefer that.
You
I
know
like
what
the music.
Would work really well is Ryan Gosling singing Womania to Emma Stone. Womania, Womania.
Yeah, that's a much better
jazz.
Song. Yeah.
They could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
But this came pretty close. Best English Bollywood movie ever.
I don't know what you mean by that. Can you name another English Bollywood movie so I get some context?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. And another maybe?
I meant musicals. You know that.
So you're saying this is the best musical ever? Are you sure? This is recorded. It's going out in the World Wide Web.
I already said that. Apart from Disney, yeah. For sure, I think.
Oh, you didn't like the My Fair Ladies and the Fiddler on the Roofs and all?
Have you watched Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah, I know songs from Fiddler on the Roof.
I know Lakhayam, and I know If I Were a Rich Man, and that's it. But
matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
Find copyright, me a copyright, copyright.
Sorry.
I think this is the best musical, yeah. I mean, and clearly the best one in modern times. And I'm, the Academy agrees with me.
Yeah,
Academy.
I'm personally, like on a personal level, I'm judging you right now.
Fine, fine. According to you, who did it better then?
You already know my Hollywood musicals. I mean, let's just jump to Bollywood, man. Devdi?
Devdi did it better.
The music? Oh, so much better, dude.
You're just naming a good music. There's no correlation between
it's a musical. Devdi is a musical.
Every movie is a musical in Bollywood.
Yeah, Devdi as a musical did it better than La La Land as a
Devdi
musical.
Devdi is in fact not a musical. None of Anurag Kashyap movies are musical. All the music tends to be diegetic, which is to say within the movie, like playing within the movie or in the background. So
Amitabh Bachchan did a better job at singing in Baagban than
first
Ryan Gosling did at La La Land.
You picked the worst example ever. Devdi was not a musical. Can we just get to the ending? That ending sequence.
Yes, I have a lot to talk about that in that ending sequence. Firstly, just before we jump into the entire sequence of what could have been and all of that, right? This sequence starts by her stumbling onto Seb's jazz club, which was his dream. She didn't know that he started a jazz club, and they just
and she too has achieved her dream.
Happenstance, right? They just ended up in there, and then she sees they go down, and then they sit, they grab a drink, and they sit, and there are these amazing musicians on stage who are playing some amazing music, right? Like really, really good music.
Good to know. I didn't know.
And then you finally get the feeling that, oh, you know, you're in a jazz club. Everyone's quiet. Everyone's focused on the stage, listening to the beautiful music that's been produced. And then they make eye contact when he's like thanking everyone.
Yeah.
And then he goes and sits on the piano.
Yeah. Of his own
club.
And
he plays that god awful, saturated as hell, stupid ass tune, which comes 50 times in the movie. And it literally killed the first time I was about to feel something for the movie. It just killed it instantly.
Oh, shut up. So the tune, what about the sequence that follows?
Yeah, what was that about? I mean, was that the director's way of saying that I had another script lined up and this is what how it would have been?
It's
I didn't understand that.
It's about the cost of your dreams.
Okay.
You understand, you heartless prick?
Okay.
They lock eyes.
Uh-huh.
And they think about like what's been different for the past 5 years.
Right.
And what could have been and what price their dreams came at. And the price was the two of them. The love, the bond, everything that they shared. They have both achieved everything they wanted and lost each other. Why do I need to explain this to you?
So wait. To your point about that was the cost of their dream, but in the sequence they show how they could have achieved those dreams whilst they were together?
Just what could have been if just things worked out perfectly, if life didn't get in the way. And, you know, you've never had that moment where you just think...
Where I have a flashback while a song's playing in the back and then I have this TV reel in front of me of my life of what it could have been. No, it's unfortunately, I haven't.
It's a movie, Vikram. It's a movie.
It's just taking some really super loose artistic license in terms of whatever a movie can be. So let's just make it that. That sequence made no sense.
Dude, every movie should do this. It's almost like watching another movie and just pondering about how these characters are like, you know, so fleshed out that you can imagine a whole different story with them, which might have been good to watch as well. And dude, I think I cried while watching this the first time. Not cried, like tear, you know, a single tear, one single cinematic tear rolling down my cheek. And it affected me as much this time. Beautiful, gorgeous.
You cried?
No, I...
Look at tear. How much I care.
Single tear.
Oh, you cried?
Single tear, you know.
Oh my God. You okay?
Well, I am not.
I don't care. I do not care that you cried. It does not matter to me, or does not mean this movie is good that just because you cried, okay. Which I highly doubt you did.
Single tear. Unlike you, I'm not an emotionless robot. I'm not an android.
I feel like that's the gist of your argument for this episode.
Heartless. Okay. So why don't we wrap this up? Since you're so anti this movie, since you're so heartless.
What's with the accent?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me which movie you think should be on the IMDb top 250? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. This movie should obviously be on the IMDb top 250.
I have 10 options in my head. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
This movie is 93 on 100 on Metacritic, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, won 14 Oscars, but Mr. Vikram doesn't think it should be in the IMDb top 250.
Why'd you get that accent, dude?
It's me mocking you.
Oh. So you become like pseudo-American when you mock someone?
Yeah.
Mr. Vikram.
Vikram.
Anyway, I literally have like 10 replacements. Pick a number and I'll tell you.
Okay. 783.
Between 1 and 10.
Well, you didn't specify. It's
okay,
too late
please.
Now.
I'm so sorry. It's Can too I please late go now. Back and rectify my statement?
Okay, 4.
4 is Les Miserables.
Okay, firstly, are you sure you're pronouncing that correctly?
I think I am.
You sure? I hope. Les Miserables?
I think it's Les Miserables. That movie with Anne Hathaway.
I think it's Les Miserables, firstly.
I'm so sorry.
It's about a group of people who are
less miserable.
They are attempting to be less miserable than they already are. They're miserable, that I know for sure.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's L-E-S-S, miserables?
No, they just the French spell it with one
less. L-E-S.
Less miserables.
Got it. Thanks for the French lesson. But I honestly have 10 replacements.
Wait, also a musical?
I'm only talking about musicals. I have 10 musicals in my mind which can be replaced.
No, you don't. Okay, let's just talk about Les Miserables. What do you think is better in that movie?
The singing
is notoriously bad on the Russell Crowe front.
I'm not talking about Russell Crowe. I'm talking
I haven't
about
watched
else.
It to be clear.
Oh, but Anne Hathaway is a god. Anne Hathaway, I don't like her.
She won an Oscar too.
She won an Oscar.
Did this screw up then?
Maybe not. We'll dive into that if we get this movie. I'm talking about her singing specifically. She's a great singer.
Anne Hathaway singing was amazing in that movie. I've seen that single tight shot one take sequence of I Dreamed a Dream.
And also her acting, like the amount of the effort she put into the acting is like the amount of effort that Ryan Gosling put into his piano skills is what she did for that role overall. Like she lost a bunch of weight. She was not in her element at all. So everything she did in that movie, but apart from Les Miserables,
yeah,
there's so
it
many
makes
other
you
movies.
Feel miserable, not joyous. Oh. Did it have movie magic? It had Hugh Jackman.
I don't know
magic.
What that means.
It
honestly,
means magic. That's this, and there it is. There's the feud. There's you don't know feud. What magic means.
Thus, I cannot.
Why don't we just end it there? You magicless soul.
So that was this week's episode of Film Feud.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed our feud and my occasional crooning.
I did not. I'm so glad this one's over, man. That movie was brutal.
Now we feuded and you, the listeners, get to decide who you think won the feud. You can vote on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just hop on there, let us know who you think won, and let us know what arguments you might have made if you were in our shoes. And clothes and bodies and minds.
You can also hop onto the website munchermedia.com and let us know who you think won there as well.
And make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts,
Spotify,
Savan,
iHeartRadio.
You get the idea. Pretty much anywhere you find podcasts.
Catch you guys next week.
See ya.